do life right.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting MerrittAssembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. This is Bob Arthurs, and we are just so, as Minnie Pearl would say, so proud to be here. My mother said that while I was in Oklahoma here a couple of weeks ago, so I thought I'd break that out of the mothballs. But we are truly glad that you have tuned in today. Thank you for listening to WMIE 91.5. And today we want to say thank you to Bill Andryk with Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. Please do not try and survive in this summer heat without getting cooling. When my wife and I first came to Merritt Assembly of God back in 1992, it was December, and we moved into one of parts of the fellowship hall back in January of 1993. And I remember what it was like when the hot water tank went out in February, and we were just really barely scraping by, and someone came and replaced the hot water tank for us as a blessing. We were very thankful, because up until then we didn't have any hot water. My wife would literally boil water on the stove or get it heated up. And that's how we would fill our bathtub there for a while. But then June and July started to roll around, and the building that we were living in didn't have any heat or any air conditioning. And bless my wife, she survived all of that time until I remember it. It was July, and we were living in an upstairs area, no insulation, no heat, no air conditioning, and don't even think there was a fan any other than what we may have brought. And I came home from work, and she said, tonight we are going to buy an air conditioner. And we did. We went and bought the biggest air conditioner that we could buy. Had somebody put it in. It was a window unit, but it was the only way that we could survive in that type of heat. So if you are in a threatening situation, do not go without air conditioning if you can at all help it. If you need your unit needs some work, call Bill at Creative AC, 759-3284. We also want to remind you that if you would like to help us continue the Refresh Radio broadcast on the air, we would love to hear from you. If we had people that would partner for as little as $20 a month or $25 a month, it would help to a large extent to defray the costs of this broadcast. And so if this broadcast has been a blessing to you, and I, over the past several weeks, I've heard from more and more people in distant locations, people calling the church office and saying that they were hearing us down in Vieira. I ran into somebody down in Melbourne, and they didn't know me. I didn't know them, and come to find out at the end that they put my name together with what was on their records, and they recognized me from listening to this. And then I got a phone call from somebody beachside, and they were listeners. And so we do want to thank you for listening. We really want this word to build people up and set them on the path of righteousness. So thank you for tuning in. If you'd like to help, again, just make the check out to Merritt Assembly of God. You could mail it to 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953, or you could go online to our website. We have a mobile site, a desktop site, and there's an online giving option in both of those places. And you could make a donation there. Just mark Refresh and we would greatly appreciate it. Also, if you would like one of our prayer mugs, contact us, and we'd be glad to send one of those to you free of charge. We are still in Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 15, verse number 18, and it says, "Known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath." Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. And so we have been talking about how the early church, even though it resisted the temptation to drag people back into legalism, it also realized that there were new boundaries in the kingdom of God. For these people who were coming from a Gentile background, they needed the church to help them to establish those boundaries, to know what was pleasing to God and what wasn't pleasing to God. You see, left to our own devices, we are very much like Cain, and we think that we can just offer God anything, and he should be grateful to receive it. I want you to know God is not a beggar. God is not a beggar. Instead, he is sovereign. He is a king. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Look in history and you will find that whenever people appeared before a sovereign, before a king, they always presented a gift. They did not just present a gift, they presented the highest quality gift that they could. So for me, it is my privilege to bestow my very best upon my king and the lover of my soul. In Malachi, the prophet challenged the priests of that day, and they were specifically dealing with the gifts that they were offering to God, that the people were offering God, that the priests were offering to God, and they were offering the deformed, they were offering all sorts of things that they couldn't sell in the market. They were basically offering God their leftovers. And the prophet said, "Try offering those to your king. See if he would accept those." Why would we want to bestow upon God something less than our very best? Another thing that it says in the Old Testament is that none were to appear before God empty-handed. And there should have been something that they had to offer. And so you and I, we need to make sure that we are presenting God with our very best, with the best of our time, the best of our thought, the best of our strength, the best of our finances. That's what tithing is all about. That's what giving is all about, is offering God our very best. And also, we offer him the very best physically. That's what we do. My body is not my own. We talked about this, I believe, on yesterday's broadcast out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That our body is not our own. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And one of the other things that I haven't touched on in this week's broadcast anyway, is in verse number 18, it says, "Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body." And so I just challenge you to look. You know, if you want to know why God tells us to take care of this body, look and see what certain things do to your body. There are more than enough examples of people who've used drugs that have destroyed themselves physically. There's more than enough examples of people who have abused themselves with alcohol and tobacco. To know that those things do damage to your body. But if we were to bring it into the realm of this abstaining from sexual immorality, look at the medical costs and you will see that to a large extent, almost all of the devastating effects that are transmittable diseases that are done sexually are done so from a basis of sexual immorality. One partner or the other or both have committed sexual immorality in the past, and then there is a wake of destruction and pain and misery and suffering in its wake. And here's the refreshing news for you. God doesn't want that pain for you. He has something better. He's got a better plan. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 7 talks about people who actually died because of sexual immorality. 23,000 fell in one day because of sexual immorality. We've already talked about how that it's the will of God out of 1 Thessalonians. So let me tell you in Revelation chapter 2, let's turn over there just a second. Revelation, very last book in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 2, and let's look at verse number, let's see, where do we want to start reading? Verse number 12, let's look at verse number 12. And it says, "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos, write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you and come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written which no one knows except him who receives it. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience, and as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you." Listen to this, because this is very pertinent, because this relates to what's going on in 2015. "I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works." Okay, so here, one of the things that I have heard is, you know, that there are people who want to carve out this special exception, you know, that Paul writes about these varying descriptions of sexual immorality. But to one of the things that I've heard repeatedly is that Jesus never addresses it. Well, I want you to know he does address sexual immorality. He addressed it while he was living on the earth. He told the woman at the well about her past. He dealt with that. He didn't condemn her, but he did explain to her that he was the Messiah. She realized that he was the Messiah, and as a result of that, she left things behind because of what she had encountered with Jesus. She ran in. She told the town about everything that Jesus had told, and he ministered to the people of the town. There was the woman, and this is one of the most popular stories in modern society because of one line, and I'll explain that line to you. And that is, they brought a woman to him caught in the act of adultery, and they wanted to know what Jesus was going to do with her because the law commanded that she be stoned. Now, remember, Jesus is just in all of his judgments. So they bring this woman to Jesus who has been caught in the act of adultery. And the thing that they don't mention is that they only brought her. They did not bring the guy. In other words, Jesus is righteous and just in all of his decisions, but he's not going to judge one and let the other person get off. And so as a result of that, he's drawing down in the sand, and they keep looking to him, and they are ready to stone her. And he says, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Now, remember, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you look in Jesus' genealogy, you are going to find people that are in there. There are some that were prostitutes. There are some that were victims of incest. There are people from fractured sexual backgrounds, and yet they still played a prominent role in the genealogy of Jesus. So I want to encourage you that God is bigger than your failures. He is able to equip you and I sovereignly so that we can rise above that. So here this woman is, and Jesus says, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And it says from the oldest to the youngest, they began to leave one by one. See, the older you are, you should become more and more aware of how desperately you need Jesus. You see, the older I get, it seems like the more pains that I have. It seems like I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but I've been in retail for a number of years, and it seemed to me that the older people got, the crankier people got. And I've decided that I don't want to be that guy. And so I was making that a matter of prayer. This goes back a couple of decades ago. And God said, you know how everybody talks about that sweet granny, grandma, old lady, you know? Well, the only way that happens is if she becomes a sweet young lady and doesn't allow the things of life to create in her a cantankerous mindset. And the same is true with men. At some point in time, we've got to have a turning point. You and I, we become more and more aware of our own shortcomings and failures. And so they one by one begin to leave. And Jesus rises up and says, woman, where are your accusers? And she says, they're not here. And he said, then neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know, our society wants to focus on the judge not lest you be judged. That doesn't mean that there's never going to come a judgment day. It means that we're not in the condemning business. We are in the forgiveness business. Jesus is in the salvation business. It doesn't mean that that day is never going to come, but and as long as God is long-suffering, as long as there's one more soul that God is working to save, and until that day he leans over and say, Jesus, go get your bride. As long as there's a breath of hope, then we're to extend the grace of God, the opportunity for forgiveness. But Jesus says that when we receive that, we go and sin no more. Now remember, hers was a sexual sin. It was unforgivable under the old covenant, but it was forgivable because of the price that Jesus was going to pay. And so if people are continuing to beat you up over your past without offering you forgiveness, they have missed the boat. But Jesus said then, he says, you can't continue doing things like that and be a recipient of my grace at the same time. What Paul said was, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. And so what I realized as I was studying and preparing for this is people who say that Jesus did never addressed this issue, this concept of sexual sin, they've obviously never read Revelation. Those people, I mean, we talked about this passage, you know, Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3, And we thought that we were talking about something future where there was sexual sin going on in the church and it had its stamp of approval. And I want you to know that over the past 50, 60 years, it's become more and more prevalent. And so we need to rise up and say, you know what? I don't want what God said would happen. I don't want to be one who teaches people to commit sexual immorality. I don't want people involved in idolatry thinking they're worshiping God. I want to be doing things the way that God wants them done. And here's the other thing. If it could not be overcome, if these sins could not be overcome, then Jesus would not be telling people, let me put it on here just a second. He talks about overcoming, and I'm having a difficult time finding it right now. But to each one of the churches, he says, you know, that there's opportunity to overcome there. In verse number 26, that's where it is. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. And so there is power. I refuse to buy into this concept that just because a teenager has hormones that they cannot control themselves. And then now we're finding adults that they're still behaving like teenagers. And I still believe that God is able to bring us. And if I could not believe that the God who birthed the universe into existence, the God who formed me and breathed the breath of life into me, if I did not believe he had the power over sin to help me to be victorious over my temptations, then he's too small a God for me. But thank God he is able. He is big enough. He can help us to accomplish those things. And so that's what it goes on to say. Now, Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, he talked about the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. I read an article recently, and it was presented from a certain slant and persuasion about these ministers that came together, and they had this meeting, and they all agreed that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was not sexual in nature. And I will tell you that the Bible does say that there were a lot of issues going in Sodom and Gomorrah. But I just want to bring to you a New Testament perspective and share what it says. It says, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And Jesus talked about the people of his day that Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented quicker than they would have. But it specifically says, verse number 7 of Jude, there's only one chapter there, that Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented. When we get into Revelation, we find that there is an unwillingness to repent. In Revelation 9:21, it says, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immoralities or their thefts. See, before Jesus comes back, there is going to be a serious unwillingness to repent. And that is a very, very dangerous place to be. See, I believe that repentance is a gift from God. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important and so necessary. He is the one who brings us to repentance, where we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. We still need to be able to proclaim what we believe and why we believe it, but we also need to allow room for God to work. I know people from just about every variety of sexual immorality. I don't know from everyone that I'm aware of, but I know people from all sorts of different backgrounds, and I've known people that God has brought them out of those into a lifestyle of holiness. You say, but what about this person? They were famous and they fell. They were human and they fell. But I tell you, if somebody does something bad to a $100 bill, I'm not going to throw away my $100 bill just because they did something bad with it. I'm going to recognize the treasure that I've got inside. So God says that we are to abstain from these things. Now, I'm going to tell you what separates the message of Jesus and the message of the cross away from every other message. And it's in Revelation chapter 22. And again, these are the these the ones that we just talked about. Those were of Jesus. Now he said, verse number 9. See, then he said to me, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." And he said to me, "Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Those were the words of Jesus, verse 12 and 13. "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." And that's the difference between a message of condemnation and the message of forgiveness. The forgiveness is available. Jesus has made the information known. He says, "Now what are you going to do with it? Are you going to repent? Are you going to purge this from your life? Are you going to overcome it and experience the blessings of victory? Or are you going to continue in it, refuse to repent, be unwilling to repent?" And he says, if that is the case, go ahead, continue to do it. It's not my will for you. It's not my plan for you. It's not my best for you, but you make the decision. Go ahead. If you want to be righteous, be righteous. If you want to be holy, be holy. If you want to be unjust. If you want to be filthy, be filthy. He said, but there is going to be a distinction. There are going to be those inside the kingdom and those outside of the kingdom. You make the choice. You make the call. As for me and my house, we've chosen to be holy. We have chosen forgiveness and victory. We pray that you make the same choice. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."